Fancy Nancy. I have a word for you, Nancy. When I saw you, I want to read you a passage of scripture. Genesis chapter 21. When you were standing back there, immediately I had a vision over you. You have the cry of Hagar, and God has heard your cry. In Genesis 21, I'm sure you know the story. But in verse 16, and she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. I see a desert and I see a cactus. And on the cactus is an apple. And God says, you're the apple of his eye. He's heard your cry. And I hope that resonates with you. Everybody awake, say amen. Please open in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah 50, and it's one of the most beautiful prophetic utterances of Christ, and it goes from an incredible prophecy, and then it almost seems to change direction and deal with, what am I going to do? The prophecy is found in chapter 50 and verse 6. We know who he's talking about here. It's Isaiah 50, verse 6. Here's this prophet, and he says, I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. How many know who he's talking about? He's talking about Jesus. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Now I want you to, after this beautiful prophecy, he's talking to God's people, and he says in verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, go ahead and walk in your fire and in the sparks that you have kindled. This shall you have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness? Let me just expound on the text a little bit. Your faith will surely be tried. For the present, you may be without trial, but no man ever had faith and was all his life without trial. For faith, in the very nature of it, it implies of the degree of trial. In other words, I believe in the promise, so my faith is tried in believing the promise, or in waiting for the fulfillment of the promise, or holding on to an assurance of that promise while it is delayed. I really don't see how that can be faith at all that is not tried. So be not mistaken, God never gives anybody faith to be played with. It's like a sword that was intended to be used not to hang on the wall for a display, but it was to be used in battle. Faith is like, somebody said, a vessel that was made not to stay and sit in the docks and to rot and perish, but to head out into deep waters. And if God has given you faith, it's like someone gave you a lantern and they knew that on your way home it was going to get dark and you'd need that lantern to help you on the way. And all of us cannot live without faith. We are reminded over and over, the just shall live by faith. So let me just say, you can have faith, you're going to have a trial. You don't need to have faith to have a trial, it'll happen. But untried faith is such little faith that some have thought it no faith at all. Let me say this, it is an honor to have your faith tried. Our text says, it's very interesting, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Two things he says to do. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. I believe every congregation can be asked this question. Notice he is talking to people that fear God in the right way. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? And notice how God describes his people. He recognizes that you fear him in a healthy way. And then he says, who is among you that feareth the Lord? But then he adds to it, and he recognizes that you obey the voice of his servant. So God is recognizing the qualities of one who is walking in darkness. And the darkness that he is describing is not the darkness of sin. He's not talking about one who is in walking in sin. The person he's describing is one that fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant. And to some, this might seem rather surprising. For we would say, shall a child of light be walking in darkness? For we say the normal condition, the Bible said, he that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has passed from darkness to light, and we have fellowship with him. So why then will we have no light? Notice the text again. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and hath no light? I mentioned a few weeks ago, might have been longer, that there's just sometimes I don't know what to do. There's times in my life that things can happen and it doesn't make any sense. We're to run the race with patience. And here you are, you just run along serving God, and then sometimes things happen that you didn't see would happen, and it can knock you sideways. And you wonder, what in the world is going on? And I thought it interesting. It describes a beautiful prophetic utterance of a prophecy of our Savior. But here you go from a revelation, and now he talks about no light. The worst part is you sometimes can't make any sense of anything. And I know God's not the author of confusion, but I sure can get confused at times. And I sure can wonder what is going on. this darkness that he talks about, it's not a darkness because of sin, but it can be a darkness of when the way is not clear. If you want to get to know God, read your Bible, but read the stories in the Bible. I love the stories in the Bible. I love reading about Joseph. I love reading about Noah. I love reading about Abraham and all of them. The stories in the Bible so help me personally to get to know God, to see how God dealt in these people's lives. But I can see Joseph as a young man. He has a dream. He's not quite too sure what that dream means. He shares it, and then you follow the life of Joseph. And I believe with all my heart that Joseph, when his brothers threw him in that pit, he's crying out to his brothers, "Why? Why are you doing this to me?" I'm sure that Joseph, when he went from there to Egypt and ended up in jail, he had to have at times wonder. How many know that song? And I'm not one that listens to that stuff a lot, but it's ringing in my ear. What's going on? Anybody know that song? What's going on? You worldly pastor. And sometimes you wonder, what is going on? I've had those times in my life. And I want you to notice what God says to do and what not to do. He says that you're to trust in the name of God, and then he said to lean on him. And then he follows up with a little rebuke or a little bit of a dig in verse 11 when he says, but some of you, rather than trusting in the name of the Lord and leaning on God, he said, you try to light your own fire and you try to make your own light. I call those psychologists or psychiatrists without God's word and the Holy Spirit leading them. I call that man's solution to man's problems. But there's been times, I believe, in every Christian life, you just don't know what's going on. And I know there's that purpose-driven life book, and I've read it. And even in reading, I still don't know what's going on. And I still think, okay, what's it all about? And I try to always simplify it. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I'm sure that it's got some good points. I had some very strange things happen to me when I was younger in the ministry. I've shared this briefly. There were times in the church where I was getting all kinds of revelations and none of them made any sense. I couldn't make sense of any of them. I've told you about God showing me, asked the man if he has a telescope for sale. And he did. And, well, what's that all about? And years went by before I understood and it had any meaning and sense at all. I was going in Hood River one day and I needed a mirror. And God spoke to me and said, inside that store, go ask them if they have a mirror. There's a mirror in there. And I thought, oh, here we go again. And I went in and asked the lady teller. It was a clothing store. I said, you have a mirror for sale? And she said, no, we're a clothing store, not a glass store. I said, yeah, I think you got a mirror for sale. And she said, I don't know why we would. I said, well, why do you ask that? I said, please don't ask me to get into it. I just believe that you do. About that time, the owner came up from down around the corner. And they said, you might talk to him. I said, sir, I'm one of them people believe God talks to them, and I believe God told me to come in here and ask you to have a mirror. Well, he said, follow me. And we went downstairs, and sure enough, he said, when we're remodeling, we saved all these old mirrors. Which one you want? Well, what kind of deal can you give me? And I bought the mirror. And I went through a season of wondering. Let me bring it home. How many remember about 2-3 months ago, a gentleman, the fire marshal, and his wife came in? I remember I had a detailed word for him. And in fact, I think, Bob, you're right, after I've thought about it more. One Sunday morning, I saw him and his wife come in, and I thought they're coming to church, and I invited them in. I thought they're coming in for church. And Bob said to me, I'm not so sure, Pastor, they were coming to church. I think you caught him off guard, and he didn't know how to say no. And they came in. And she wept through the message. And they came forward. And I remember she shook. And they've left. And I've wondered, God, what was that all about? How come it hasn't connected? And I've learned over the years, some things just take time. They just take time. Doesn't mean God wasn't in it. Just means that it takes time. I was at the dentist 2 weeks ago. Thank God I'm almost done. And while I'm there, I told you that one time I was tears and he thought they hurt me. I said, no, no. But it was about 2 weeks ago, my wife, she knows who I'm talking about. There's the dentist, and then he's got this sweet little assistant. She stands there and holds this stuff. And I've witnessed to her a little bit after the doctor leaves. She's cleaning up, and I talked to her last time, and I said, may I talk to you? And she said, yes. I said, now you know I'm a pastor, yes. I said, while you were working on me, I was asking the Lord if there's anything he had for me, for you. And a lot of times he don't show me nothing, but I saw a bunch of, I said, have you bought some shoes lately? And she looked at me and said, no. And I thought, oh, God, don't let me embarrass myself. And I said, well, are you planning on buying any shoes? You know, looking for a way to get out of it or something. And she said, no. I said, well, I'm certain I saw shoes. She threw up her hand and said, oh, my goodness, I forgot. Yesterday or day before yesterday, this office gave me a sack of shoes. And said, here, and they're trying to help me out. I thought to myself, well, glory be to God. And so I invited her to church, just like the fire marshal. She promised to come. That little stinker, she hadn't come. My point is sometimes things don't make sense. But God knows what he's doing in your life, in their life, in my life, in your life. And there'll come a time when God will use that for her, as he has, I've seen by experience over the years with others. It's not my job to figure it out. It's just to trust him and to trust in the name of the Lord. I believe everybody goes through times when you don't know what to do. You just don't know what to do. In spite of all of the years, all of the training, all of the reading of the Bible, all of that, you can come to times in your life where you just wonder, God, nothing seems to be making sense. I'm not able to really get my arms around something or to figure it out. You know what I always do? I always try to come back to this passage. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness, and hath no light. Two things. You trust in the name of the Lord. Trust is equivalent in the Old Testament to faith in the New Testament. You trust in the name of the Lord. And number two, you stay upon his God. Do you know that Wednesday, lift your hands and praise him, Brock is walking on his own. Now, when I say that, it's our little grandson. I was watching, she Skyped, and we were able to watch. And here's a Brocky. And I couldn't help but let it speak to me of the way how we serve God. He's holding on to mama, and she lets him go. And my wife said he looks like Superman. He's got one arm out. He's got one like this. And I'm saying, go, Rocky, go, Rocky, go. And then he starts to get afraid. And then and they'll say, you're okay, you're going to make it. And you can see this confidence build up. Go, Brocky, go. Oh, he loves attention, just like his grandpa. And he's going, and finally, he grabs her. And he holds on. And I said to myself, isn't that just the way it is of serving God often? You're going along. And you just simply trust him. And then you stay, and you hold it. And that's what he tells us to do. Trust him and hold on. Trust him and just hold on. Whoever you are, wherever you are, trust him and hold on. Hold on and don't let go. And pretty soon he'll be running. And pretty soon he'll be doing other things. But I just want to encourage you this evening. Trust him and hold on. Would you stand? Father, we thank you for your goodness. You're our Savior. And Lord, if there be anybody here that is obeying you, and they're doing the best they can and they're trusting you, but they just feel and sense darkness. And darkness could be represented by so many things. I pray we learn what we learned in the light, we can practice in the darkness, to trust you and to hold on. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Did anybody have a ringing in your ear? No, I meant today I was laying down trying to catch up from being up to 4 in the morning when I had a big ring. But the difference, as I said, God, if this is you, make it go away. And it went away immediately. So if you're here and you've had a ring in your ear that has been driving you nuts, would you come? I'm going to pray with you. Bob, come on down. Just be there.
Cheers.